Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Well, all right.
Yes.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Or Sunday night at 7.
One or the other.
Depending on when you are listening. We are live. We are here. The phone lines are open. We only have one line left, though. So 505-338-3700 is the phone number if you would like to get in on Shock Therapy Live. I am Steve-O, joined always by Pastor Nathan Heitzig.
Yes.
I just called you Nathan.
Looks like both phone lines are open now.
There you go. Hey, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Before we get going. I've always said Nate. I always say Nate. That's my name for you. Nate. It's my boy Nate. It's my dog. You, on your message for your, like your phone, like when I call you, you say, "Hi, this is Nathan Heitzig."
Do I?
I said, "Oh crap. He calls himself Nathan in there."
I don't really care, actually.
I always call you Nate.
Yeah.
Your mom, your dad, like they all, they call you Nathan. Nathan.
But, well, I always introduce myself as Nate. Hi, what's up? I'm Nate.
Yeah. And I've always said Nate.
Yeah.
Do you really like
no,
Nathan?
No, I really don't care.
But you said Nathan on your answer machine. That's almost one of those.
Maybe I was just trying to be formal or I don't know.
Because you do sound serious. You're like, hi, you've reached Nathan Heitzig. And then your title and everything. And I'm like, wow.
What do I say? Serious? What's my title?
I don't remember.
Because it's probably old. I should probably change it.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
Let's see.
Hi, this is Nathan Heitzig.
Can you listen to your own thing?
Janitor of Calvary Albuquerque. Actually, back then it would have been Calvary of Albuquerque. Calvary. Anyways. Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate. Hanging out with you. Welcome to the show. This is a show centered around you. No, it is not a theology show. We do that on Thursdays, actually, with Pastor Jarrett Petro. From Calvary and Uphill at the
Pedro.
Level Theater. Yes, he is here to deliver all of the theology. So today's more personal. Wednesdays, we like to get down and dirty, jump into the Word with you, find out what's going on in your life.
Want to get dirty.
Yeah, right? How you doing? I don't miss her on The Voice.
Neither do I.
I'm actually really
happy she's gone.
I love Usher. Can I say
Usher,
that?
Usher.
He's going to be a great coach, bro. Like, I would pick Usher. I always said I'd pick Adam.
I like Adam. I have a man crush on Adam.
Do you? That's why I'd have to go with Usher. So does my co-host. Awesome. My co-hosts have something in common. Good job, you guys.
Except for her, it's not a man crush. For her, it's like
an actual man crush.
Yeah. It's a man.
505-338-3700, the phone number. If you would like to keep it anonymous, I realize Shock Therapy Live is quite personal. We actually have a few anonymous emails to get to. But, hey, let's check it out. We've got some, and I know we need to catch up from last week.
Yeah, so. Let's get to the first one from Anonymous. Anonymous says, "I was hoping I could gather a little bit of help in an ongoing debate with a friend about sexual sin, particularly fornication. So far, the argument has been that since she's not married nor in a relationship, what does it matter if she's sleeping with different people?
Oh.
No one's getting hurt in return. I return that there is always an emotional connection, that no one is able to truly stand aloof, and that someday she will find that perfect someone with whom she would like to commit her life, and they can explore and grow sexually in a safe confines. Etc. Same fight. You've probably heard 100 times. I'm stumped when she brought up that she needs to know if her partner is sexually compatible before she would even marry him. Obvious point to make is that if God has put that man there and she truly loves him, it wouldn't matter, but anything beyond that. And the other point she makes is that monogamy is monotony, and sleeping with other people is interesting, and she plays it safe with protection and good timing. Any other good pointers, as I'm a man without a plan, or the experience to back it up?"
Wow.
Strange way they write.
That's a really heartbreaking question.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me point out there's a difference between fornication and adultery. Adultery is when you're married sleeping with someone else. That's adultery. Fornication is sexual sin.
Yeah, and that's what this person, I guess, is engaged in, right? Not married. No,
yeah.
Not even in a relationship.
So it is sin because it's fornication. It's not adultery. It's fornication. So I think that this person that you might be talking to might be confusing the two between adultery and fornication, because they say at the beginning that she's not married nor in a relationship, so it doesn't matter if she's sleeping with people.
Right.
But that's fornication that she's engaging in, not adultery.
Yeah.
So one, it is a sin, but how do you deal with that?
As someone who, it is Shock Therapy Live, isn't it? As someone who did not wait, as someone who had probably about the same standard as the person on the other end of this question, who kind of didn't care and whatever, and as long as I'm safe, and does it really matter? And unfortunately, I had a similar standard or idea that I wanted to know I was going to be quote unquote compatible with this person. First of all, if you never have sex before marriage, you're obviously going to be compatible with this person because you have absolutely nothing to compare it to.
Hmm.
You have nothing to go on record and say, yeah, but I liked the way that this person did this, or I liked that about this person. And so whereas the question says there's no harm in it, that in and of itself is a harm. It does damage to a relationship because you begin to compare. You begin to say, oh, maybe we're not compatible because I don't like this, or I don't like the way that, or I preferred this and I liked that, as if that's the way God created it to be, and it's not. Scripture clearly says that the two become one flesh, and you bond, you really do. There is a connection. You do bond to that person.
Yeah.
It is deeply intimate. No matter how much you want to pretend like it's just surface and there's no attachment, we're just friends with benefits, there is an attachment of sorts. It is biblical. It is the two becoming one flesh, and you will carry that baggage. And for me, sadly, I had the same standards. I didn't believe it was going to affect me. I assumed whatever. So that when I did become a believer and I did start walking, and said, I'm going to wait until I'm married, it still did plenty of damage to my marriage because I had things to compare. I had thoughts, and as men, we're very visual. Mm-hmm. I had images, and I was just stockpiling crap, basically, into my heart, into my mind, into my life. And so it's very frustrating because I look at this question and I see me from high school, and I want to like smack this person and say, wake up, because you're absolutely kidding yourself if you believe that you can have this connection, you can have this sexual relationship with no attachments, with no baggage, with nothing. We're just free and we're young and we're just going to have sex and it doesn't matter and there's nothing really that's going to attach to me on this. But you're lying to yourself, because there's always going to be a consequence to that, whether it's comparing, whether it's stockpiling those mental images, whatever it is. Man, it kind of breaks my heart a little bit. And that's just the personal aspect. That's not even to go directly to scripture that talks specifically about sexual sin and why it is wrong. And God did not, you know, sit back and go, man, sex is absolutely incredible, so let's make sure that we stop people from doing it because we don't want them to have any fun.
Yeah.
They have to be married. It's not this rule. God does things because his character is so much that he wants to protect us. He wants to take care of us. He loves us. And he knows that this is deeply, deeply intimate.
Yeah.
This is... this is how you quote unquote consummate the marriage. This is the two becoming one flesh. It is the most intimate of things that you can do with your spouse, and to write it off as something less than that, bums me out. Really bums me out. You know, I think just yesterday we were talking about this scientist who is an internet mogul sensation in Russia, who's trying to create a hologram that you could transfer your consciousness to live forever.
Oh my goodness.
We talked about the fact that right now we do have the opportunity, because whether or not we know it, we are going to live forever. We really, truly are. And Jesus had mentioned in his word that this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God and Jesus whom you have sent. And that word to know, that hinosko, that word is a deeply intimate word used. You look back at Genesis chapter 3 where Adam knew Eve and they conceived and bore a son. So why is it such a big deal? Because God in his word equates sex between a partner, that deeply intimate knowing of your partner. Adam knew Eve and they conceived and bore a son, to eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you in this deeply intimate personal way, and that connection between you and God is as deeply intimate as any sexual relationship you will have with your spouse. That is eternal life. Jesus, that's what Jesus said. And so to try and diminish and demoralize and to just kind of write off sex as this fun little thing that you do to kill time because you're bored or you're horny or whatever, it's kind of frustrating right now. So I got to be, I'm sorry. I kind of stole it. You go.
And this is, I would say this too, you know, when you say, oh, you know, I'm being safe, you know, it's safe sex. Condoms have an 85% effective rate. Right. So that means there's a 15% chance that you could still get an STD or pregnant. And you say, well, you know, that's pretty good odds. What if you were to get on an airplane and the pilot were to say, ladies and gentlemen, we're on a safe flight today, but I do want to warn you, one of our engines have been having some problems. There's a 15% chance we might crash and die during this flight. It's okay. There's an 85% chance we're going to be okay, but there's a 15% chance you might die today.
Yeah.
Would you stay on that flight? No, I'd get off immediately if there was even a slight chance that he told me there was a chance that I might die. Yeah. So, you know, when we say it's safe sex, the only safe sex is between a man and a wife who know one another, who, you know, it's even when you get married, you have to take certain tests to make sure that neither one has STDs and things like that. And so, you know, you can't say it's safe unless it's with a spouse who you're being monogamous with.
Yeah.
And you say, well, monogamy is monotony. That, to me, honestly, that's just something that an uneducated scoundrel dirtbag would say, that monogamy is monotony. I think that if there's a cultivated relationship between a man and a wife, the sexual excitement can always be there no matter how long you're married, you know.
Dude, it's easy to run around and go stick your, that's easy. It is so much work, so much dedication. Commitment is not the quote unquote easiest thing in the world, but it is also so rewarding. So you run around and you talk about how like, this is monotonous. I'd rather just run around and whatever. Any idiot can do that.
Yeah.
It takes a real man to be committed in a relationship to one person. So I would challenge you on that. You talk about it being monotonous.
Yeah.
Man, sorry. I'm
now this is the crazy part. This person, though, is a girl who's sleeping around. You know, and it's, you know, you're just going to end up giving your – I've always heard it this way, that when you have sex with somebody and you're giving yourself sexually, you're giving a little piece of yourself to that person.
Absolutely.
What happens is when you do that too many times, you completely destroy the chance that you're ever going to have a meaningful relationship with somebody. So not only the spiritual consequences, the Bible says, I tell you the truth, neither fornicators nor idolaters nor adulterers nor homosexuals will inherit the kingdom of earth. So if you continue to live your life in this way, not only the spiritual consequences, but the physical and emotional consequences are extremely great. And it's not something you want to do to give yourself away to someone over and over again. You really will destroy your future marriage someday. And it's something that can be really hard to work through later on, the baggage that you carry with you, in that fashion.
Now, on the flip side, I want to say this. I have seen God's restoration. I've seen his restorative work. I've seen what he can do when you make a decision to turn away from that sexual sin, when you make a decision that, you know what, I'm going to try it God's way because I've tried it my way, and my way leads to heartbreak. My way leads to, man, a laundry list of things. And it's incredible to see how God can mend hearts and restore you. So don't take this and say, oh, well, I'm too far gone and it doesn't matter anyways because I've already given myself away so many times that, you know, I'm just going to keep living this way, because it doesn't have to be that way. God came, that's the business he's in, is redemption, restoration, making things new. And, so don't think that it's beyond repair and that, you can't turn from that, because no one is beyond repair with God. And, that's the whole point. So there is hope in that, but you have to make a decision to turn from your selfish desires. You have to make a conscious decision to step away from that and believe that, you know what, this way, probably not the way. So let's give Jesus a try. And, man, in his word, he says, if you seek me with your whole heart, if you earnestly seek me, you will find me. And, I challenge you on that. You know, you want to talk about a commitment? You want to talk about a relationship? Man. Yeah. So anyways.
Yeah.
505-338-3700, the phone number. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Nate Heitzig. I am Steve-O. We got a few email questions that I know we need to get through from last week. So
yeah. So we got another one from, I don't know, I'll just say anonymous because it's email. My question is, how do I handle this issue that I've been dealing with for several years now? Once I gave my life to God, I believe he put on my heart that I needed to break up with my boyfriend of 8 years.
Wow.
And for him to get his own place. He did eventually move out and we broke up. But temptation did get the best of me, and we completely backtracked. I went back to my life before. Well, God's conviction on my heart caused me to get him to move out again. As of right now, we are broken up, and he lives in another town. We're still in contact almost daily. I know I'll always have a connection with him, and I am struggling with letting go and trying to move on. The way he treats me is just like another friend of his, but yet he keeps telling me he misses and loves me. I guess his words and actions don't match, so that makes it more complicated and confusing. My question is, should I even be trying to stay in contact with him? I keep thinking we have too much between us for us not to be a part of each other's lives. Or is that just my flesh? Also, when I've tried to distance myself from him, something ends up pulling us back together. Help, what should I do? Man, well, I think that my personal take would be that you definitely cease contact with him. You stop talking to him. You sever this relationship. It's an unhealthy relationship for you spiritually. I also believe for you emotionally. And for me, this is a perfect story of what being sexually active can lead to.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Because, perfect. You know, when you're sexually active and you give yourself to this person, you live with each other, you're in essence creating a mini marriage is what you're doing. You're creating a mini marriage because sex is something reserved only for marriage. And then when you guys break up, it causes a mini divorce. And it causes all these unhealthy feelings, all this unhealthy drama and just this heartache that comes from this relationship. So, you know, I think that this is a perfect answer in essence to the first question. This is why we don't give ourselves sexually, because of what it does to the human heart and emotionally and physically to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree implicitly, especially since in your question you say, hey, I gave my life to Christ. I felt conviction that we needed to separate. We needed to be apart. And then you ended up reconnecting. You moved back in and you reverted back to your old lifestyle. To me, that's just an indicator that this person, it didn't sound like this person was in the same boat with you, spiritually speaking, in a sense that they wanted to grow more in Christ. And nothing good can come from that, considering you've already been drugged into the relationship again, moved back with them, sexually active again, and ties.
Yep.
Cut ties. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. You want to go to the phone lines?
Yeah, we got an intense question.
All right. Static.
Hey, I'm remaining anonymous
because
two people might know me. About a year ago, my husband and I were having a lot of problems, and he was treating me really badly. In the meantime, I was on Facebook a lot, and I was friends with a male, as I was with a lot of males. We were just friends. But this friendship became more intimate, and we started having a much more deeply intimate emotional relationship. And it kind of crossed the line, and he lived out of town, so I never saw him. But we just really became intimate, and my husband found out about it and became very angry and jealous, and we I had to end the relationship with him. The other gentleman knew what to say. He knew how to say it. I'm not saying he was a player, but he could have been because I didn't know him, but he didn't seem like he was. But he just knew what to say and how to say it, and we just had this connection. So anyway, I ended the relationship. Well, actually, my husband ended the relationship. I wasn't planning on ending it. I was planning on continuing it because my relationship with my husband was so bad. And he really comforted me. The other gentleman comforted me. But because my husband found out about it, we had to end it. And so we did. And then my relationship with my husband got better. And it seemed as if maybe he saw that because somebody, and my husband researched him. And it turned out that the guy was wealthy, he had a good job, he was an upright guy in his community, and he obviously wasn't that upright. Because
took the words.
I was married.
Yeah, I was going to say that the name for him isn't a player; it's a snake.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's what he thought. That's what my husband said.
Yeah.
But my husband started treating me much better, and our marriage got better. But the problem is, every time we get into a fight, I resort to seeking out this other guy. He's blocked, and his number's blocked. I can't find him, but I spend hours searching for him because it's like I want to resort back to those comforting words that he had for me that my husband does not have. And it's like I have that angel on one shoulder and that demon on the other, and I'm telling myself, don't do this, don't do this, this is wrong. And as I'm doing that, I'm typing away, I'm looking up, I'm trying to find him. And I can't help it. It's like I can't stop myself. And I haven't shared this with anybody, but I have a counselor, and she told me that every so often he might pop up, and then I'm going to have to resist the devil so that he will flee.
Hmm.
But it's just like I can't do it, and it just happened the other day. And my husband found out that I'd been looking for him. He's like a computer geek, and he finds everything. I try to cover my trail, and he finds everything. So any time I've ever tried to look for him, my husband finds out. And it's like destroying us because we're doing good, good, and then we have this downfall. And I've looked up scriptures, and I don't know how to stop it. It makes me sick. I feel embarrassed. I feel dirty. I feel hopeless. I feel like I'm prostituting myself.
Well, let me tell you this. There's no verse that you're going to be able to quote or prayer that you're going to be able to say that's going to automatically rid you of this temptation.
Absolutely.
It boils down to you having self-control.
Yeah.
It boils down to when you feel that temptation come, just as Hebrews 2:18 says, and that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted. That when you feel that temptation, you flee youthful lust. You run away from that. I would say that you and your husband probably need to see counseling together. And you
will not go to counseling. He's already told me.
Okay. Well, you know.
Oh, by the way, he's not a Christian.
Okay. Regardless of whether he's a Christian or not, this boils down to you having the self-control to flee from these youthful lusts, from these desires. You've got to have either accountability partners in your life that when you feel that way, you can call another female, another girl that you can talk to. Whether that's when you feel that desire, you call and talk to your counselor right then and there and say, hey, I need to talk to you. I'm feeling these desires. Will you pray for me? Will you help me? There's someone in your life that you can cling to, that you need to find, that you can be accountable with when these desires come. And let me tell you something about this guy. This guy's not a player. This guy's a snake. He's a snake who lacks honor.
Mm-hmm.
He lacks respect. He's a dirtbag because any guy would not pursue a woman who's married. That has honor. So this guy, as much as he says the right things that you want to hear, this guy's a dirtbag. He doesn't have honor. He's not a good guy. He's a scoundrel. And so you need to, first of all, keep that in your mind because he's showing signs of not being a good guy. He's showing signs of being a bad guy.
Yeah, and I immediately wonder, man, you got to pinpoint. I mean, the first word I thought of was idolatry. That's the first thing that came to my mind with this issue is that this person, this snake, this guy, this whatever, is your idol. Because when you are fine, everything's cool, and you don't really need to seek him out, right? That's what you're saying? But it's when things go wrong, he's almost your functional savior. When things are bad and you start to hurt and things aren't going your way, you immediately turn to him as your salvation. You immediately turn to him as your point of worship because he brings quote unquote completion to your life. And that's idolatry. That's the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before you. And this person is on a pedestal right now, and you need to knock that dude off your pedestal because you are in essence worshiping the feeling, the emotion, the whatever it is. And let's be honest, dude, God is a jealous God. And he wants your attention. And right now, you are giving your attention to this false idol that, man, my heart like is breaking right now for you because I have no words. That's idolatry. You've got to knock this off because it will destroy you. It absolutely will. And
it's going to be really, really hard for your husband to trust you from this point on.
Right.
Because
every time I have to re-earn his trust, and he's been so good about it. But it's like one day he's going to have not.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you something. He's more gracious than a lot of guys are in this situation. You know, if this is something that he's found out a couple different times and that you're still trying to seek him out, eventually he's going to get to the point where he's not going to trust you anymore. Yeah. And it will permanently damage your relationship to a point where it won't be able to get repaired, to where he won't trust you, to where it will just destroy, you know, and also destroy your witness. Again, he's a non-Christian. He's like, I'm a non-Christian and you're supposed to be a Christian and you're seeking out this relationship with this other guy.
And he's the one showing forgiveness. Yeah. He's the one that is.
Yeah, the roles are flip-flopped. And I mean, that just really destroys your witness as a wife to an unbelieving husband.
Now I feel like a dirtbag.
Well, you know, and part of it, I don't want to be too harsh, but you really should.
No, be harsh. It's okay. You know, I can take it.
You really should in a lot of ways.
Yeah, because until you are broken, until you come to a point where you have that broken, contrite heart, you're not going to turn away. Because if you aren't broken and you don't realize how ensnared you are, you will not turn away because he is your functional savior. He is your idol right now. You are bowing before the altar of this dude and man.
Yeah. And you know, I think too of the verse, where it says, for those of you who sin and you know that it's sin, you know that you're doing wrong, that it's even worse.
Yeah, Luke, yeah, I believe chapter 6, right? You will be the servant who knows the master's will and chooses to ignore it will be beaten with many stripes.
Yeah, and so, you know, you're in this place where you say that while you're doing it, you say, oh, this is wrong, I shouldn't do this, and you're just doing it anyways. That's a scary place to be at because it shows that you're willingly falling into sin, and you don't care what the consequences are and you don't care what's going to happen. You do it while you know you shouldn't do it. Yeah. It's not like someone who does it emotionally and then after they do it, they say, oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. You're saying that before you even do it, while you're trying to act out on these lustful desires, these youthful lusts, you're knowing and you're telling yourself that it's wrong, that you shouldn't do it. And so it really boils down to you having self-control, you submitting to the Spirit, you loving God more than you love your desires, and submitting to God's will for your life.
It's just so hard. My self-control is so lame.
I'll tell you what.
That's why it's sin and temptation. You know, nowhere does it say, oh, sin and temptation is super easy. You know, it's supposed to be tempting. If it wasn't tempting, it wouldn't be temptation.
Exactly. I want you to go a few places in Scripture. Do a study on Jesus Christ when he was in flesh as a human being on this planet hanging out. Hey, I'm Jesus. I want you to do a study on his wandering in the wilderness, his temptations then. I want you to do a study on how Jesus suffered through those, because I don't think you realize that there are times where it's going to be difficult and it sucks, but guess what? You can endure it. You're just choosing not to. The moment things get hard, you kind of walk away and say, meh. And I've been there. I know what you're going through because my heart's like breaking because I hear me a few years ago, in you, because I was where you are at now, to a place where, man, this is hard and it's so much easier over here, but really all you're doing is complicating and making your problems way worse, when you gotta realize, man, Jesus, we just celebrated Easter. Jesus was in the garden like, hey, if there's any other way, if at all possible, to go about this, let's try and do that. But not my will be done, but your will be done. Jesus was sitting in the garden freaking out like, hey, if we could go about this some other way, that'd be, and right now you're looking at this idol and going, yeah, but if I could just do it this way, it'd be so much easier. No. And instead of saying, not my will be done, but your will be done, you're just choosing your will.
Yeah, and what I hear
you're
too,
just going to your idol.
And what I hear too is sin excuses, and we all have them for the sin in our lives. Oh, well, I go to him because he knows the right words to say. Oh, I go to him because of this. Instead of just calling it sin and saying, I shouldn't do this, it's wrong, there's no excuse for my sin. Instead of just calling it what it is, you're finding subtle excuses. And I know you're saying that you know it's still wrong because you do, but you're trying to find whatever these are, subtle excuses to make yourself feel better about the sin that you're engaging in. It makes you feel like you have a reason to do it, or that your husband's partly responsible for you sinning, and those are just excuses. Mm-hmm. You know, those are excuses that need to be crucified on the cross, and you've got to get rid of those.
I did feel like that, and you know what's ironic is we got caught last Easter.
Ugh!
Yikes!
I know.
Yeah,
because we were talking, we were on the. We're texting.
Oh my gosh. I just want to go throw up. I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to tell you this right now. Unless you nip this in the butt right now, right away, this will destroy, if it hasn't already, this will destroy your marriage.
Yep. I will say this again, just like the last email, there is hope. God is a God of second and third and 49 and 63rd chances, but you have to turn away. You have to knock this freaking idol off of your altar, and you have to, man.
Well, I haven't heard of, you know, I haven't even thought of it being an idol. That's freaking me out.
Oh, you're worshiping this. I mean, this is your go-to. He is your functional savior. You, from your mouth, said when it gets hard, anytime it's difficult, you turn to him. You don't turn to God. You don't turn to his word. You don't pray. You turn to this dude as your functioning savior.
It's just like a robot. I mean, it's like I don't even think about it. It's just automatic.
Well, but here's the thing. You do think about it, too. It's not even that you don't think about it. You think about it, and you know that you shouldn't do it, and you tell yourself you shouldn't do it, and you do it anyway. So it's worse than a robot.
Man.
You're a slave.
Yeah. And
I told you to hit me with it, and you are.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you got it. The good news is you're on the phone with us right now, and you're asking how you can change, and these are the answers. And, man, I pray that you cling on to these. I really do.
Yeah,
and
this is what I mean. You know, the Bible says that we're either a slave to sin or we're a slave to Christ. And right now, you're a slave to sin.
Yeah.
You're not a slave to Christ, and you need to rid yourself of the bondage that you have to this guy, this bondage of sin, this slavery of sin, and you need to really, really make sure that your heart is completely given to Christ and that you're a slave to the Lord, not to this person or to anything else in your life.
It's so hard because I'm going to have to find somebody. If you knew me.
Yeah, but now you're just replacing him with another idol.
No. You said to have a go-to friend that I talk to.
Like an accountability person who's not struggling in the same area, who's going to smack you around when you feel this. But don't let that person then in turn become your idol. Don't let that person become your functioning savior. You need to trust in God and his word. You need to believe his promises. And it sounds like you kind of have this.
Do you have any close godly Christian girlfriends?
Yeah, I have several. In fact, I started a group. That's what I'm saying. If they knew, it's like they would freak out because I am such a, I hate this, like, I don't know what other word to say. I'm a pillar in my group.
So you're a hypocrite.
Yes, okay. I'm a huge hypocrite.
Okay. Well, you need to find whatever girl you're closest to in that group and be honest with them and tell them what's going on and ask them to keep you accountable.
And I wouldn't necessarily say, hey, you have a group of 20 people. We're not telling you to like go in front of the group and be like, ladies.
Yeah.
Maybe I should. Maybe some of them are dealing with it too. I don't know.
But there's wisdom and prayer, yeah. and I'm telling you, one to another, you go to that one, and I wouldn't necessarily say you go in front of the world and say, hey, everyone. However, yeah. you do need some accountability.
Again, I would find whatever girl you believe is the godliest and the one that you're closest to.
I have one.
Then you go to her and you tell her, you're honest with her, and you say, I want you to keep me accountable. I've been living in sin. This is wrong. You know, talk about everything you told us.
Yeah. And maybe that will lead to you sharing with the group. Maybe that will lead to something, because you never know. I remember when I fell into sin and blew the doors open, and I can remember multiple friends, one in particular that always sticks out to me, who came to me and said, dude, you sharing what happened in your life stopped me from going down the road that I was about to go down. So you never know how God can use your really crappy situation, despite you almost, and be glorified in it. But again,
don't do that hastily. You know,
no,
go to this person that you have in your mind, talk to them, get their counsel, pray with them, and then let the Lord lead you from there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I'm really glad I called you, and I really almost didn't, because it was so embarrassing that the Lord told me to call them. Call. It was so strong to call you. So
good. Well, I'm glad you did.
I can't listen to him.
Man, thank you so much for calling.
God bless. Okay. You have a good day.
Thank you guys for your wisdom and your very godly advice. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling. God bless.
All right. It's Shock Therapy Live for a reason.
Yeah. We've got another call on the line. Should we take it now or take a break?
We haven't taken a single break yet.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. I am Steve-O. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig. Quick break. Right back to the phone lines. And I was about to say we got a line open, but it's
now.
Full. Never mind. All right. Shock Therapy Live right here. Static Radio.
Steve-O here, morning show co-host and program director of Static Radio. Hey, you may not know this, but Static Radio is a nonprofit, listener-supported station. And it's because of you and your financial contributions that we're able to do what we love, playing the latest music, at times engaging in challenging conversations, or just having a good time getting you through your day. Most importantly, though, Static Radio is here to spread the truth of Jesus Christ. If you believe this, please consider joining us this May for Static Spring Bling, where you'll have an opportunity to partner with us financially and help continue to transmit the message of hope found only in Jesus Christ. Or if you'd like to donate now, get to mystaticradio.com. Static Spring Bling, coming in May.
Skull Church is on the way to Albuquerque.
Mark this down, Sunday night, April 14th.
Levi Lesko and the Skull Church Band will be at Calvary Albuquerque. Relevant, raw. That's Skull Church.
And oh yeah, free.
Here's what's behind Skull Church.
I came to tell somebody he can change you. He can save you. You're not too messed up. You're not too far gone. You haven't wasted too much time. He could change you. He could save you.
You can have it all for you. It's all for you.
Someone who won't face reality?
He came to pay our bill. Everyone who sins has wages, and that the wages of sin is death.
But they need to know the truth. Bring them to hear Levi Lesko at Skull Church. Levi Lesko and the Skull Church Band be at Calvary Albuquerque, April 14th. SkullChurch.com.
SkullChurch.com.
Static Prom is coming your way. On April 26th, we're going retro.
No,
we'll see you at 7 p.m. in the Hub at Calvary Albuquerque. Find all the details at mystaticradio.com. It's time to pull out your suit and tie, neons, fake leather, teasing comb. Retro is as retro does. Look sharp. We'll see you at the prom.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. You're still listening? Good. because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Well, all right.
Yes.
Welcome back to the show.
Phone lines are full. Got email questions?
Yeah. Studio at mystaticradio.com if you would like to ask an anonymous question. Or if you'd like to call in, we've had this person online too.
Yep.
Let's take a look there. Hello.
What's up, man?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. Hey. How are you?
I'm all right. I have a question about leading my family to God. You know, I have two kids. They're 5 and 1.
Nice.
And my wife just doesn't want to go to church. And I feel like, you know, when it comes up that I, you know, I want to lead them to church and, you know, teach my kids the right ways. And I feel resistance from her because she says, you know, she doesn't want to go because it would just be we'll have to send them to the children's room and we won't, you know, we won't see them. And, you know, it's just a babysitter and she'd rather stay home and, you know, have time as a family, you know, and it would be like if I just leave and go to church, it would just be on the same plane as if I like went to the bar.
Yeah.
The way she sees it, because it's like I'm, you know, I'm not spending time over there. And it's just really hard because my daughter has special needs and she doesn't trust really anybody to take care of her. In 5 years, she never even spent the night at grandma's house or anything.
Right.
And it's just you know, she's just really protective and doesn't want to be in a church environment where the kids aren't going to be able to be right next to her, you know, and so she would rather keep them away from God than to have them, you know, be around other people. And it's just, I don't know, you know, I feel like I'm wasting time. You know, my life has gotten infinitely worse that I haven't been going to church, and I find myself just backslidden, and I don't know what steps I could take to do what I need to do and fulfill my responsibility as a father.
Yeah, well, let me first of all say this. Here at Calvary, we've got a few options I think would really be great for you guys.
Yeah.
Number one, we've got a family room, and actually we also have an entire auxiliary room called the Hub.
Yep.
That we allow families to sit together with their kids, and we actually have a couple families that come in there with special needs kids I've actually seen in the Hub and sit in there.
Yep.
During the service. We also have a children's ministry that has a class specifically for kids with special needs, that it has people who are trained. People who know how to deal with that, and we've got some teachers and people there that can really help with that situation specifically. Now I'll say this as well. When we're called to lead our families, we're not called to suggest to our families. We're called to lead our families.
Yeah.
And so that means more than just telling your wife, hey, let's go to church. That means you waking up one day and saying, hey, we're going to go to church today. Well, I don't want to. Well, I'm sorry. You know, I'm the leader of this family. I'm the head of the household. We're going to go to church today. It's not an option. We're going to do it. If you don't want to go, that's fine. I'll take the kids and we're going to go to church today.
Right.
If you want to stay home by yourself, go for it. But we're going to go to church today.
Yeah. Ever since I was little, that was like the boom. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And my mom, every Sunday, didn't matter through high school, I'd be hungover or whatever. My mom would grab me by the ear. We were going to church every Sunday. And I cannot begin to tell you how thankful I am for that. Because even though I was bored or angry or drawing on my little outline, you know, trying not to pay attention, God's word says it never returns void.
Yeah, and
ever.
So don't make it an option. Don't make it a suggestion. Let her know that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And she can either stay home and pout about it, or she can come with you guys.
Yeah, because she talks about wanting to spend time together. If you and the kids are going to church,
yeah,
then if she wants to spend time with you, y'all are going to spend time at church.
Yeah.
Exactly, you know, and I, you know, and I'm like, in a way, just trying to keep the peace, you know, and it's just making things worse. And
right.
Yeah.
Well, there's no peace in a home divided where, you know what I mean? I know you're wanting to keep the, like, current peace because you don't want to fight for the next 15 minutes, but how much more beneficial would it be if you stood your ground and said, hey, this is how we're going to roll and we're going to go to church, and you never know. Your wife gives her life to Christ and flips your whole world upside down. I would rather have the 15-minute argument now
and again, she's like, well, we can't be together. Well, yeah, we can. You know, over at Calvary, we can go and there's a family room. We can all sit together as a family. and listen to the service. Yeah. Oh, well, you know, whatever the excuse is going to be, you know, there's an answer for that. Yeah. And so, you know, I'd just be the man of the house and truly lead and not make it an option, but make it a standard. This is the standard of our family. We go to church together.
Yeah.
How does your Renovate work? Is that on Sundays too? I mean, is it, you know?
Yeah, Renovate's on Thursday nights, and it's actually Renovate is specifically geared towards college students. Uh-huh. And so we've got a couple families that come. We don't have child care for it. We've had kids that have sat in there, and typically we say that we don't allow kids at Renovate just because it is geared towards college students, and we don't want kids to become a distraction.
Exactly.
But we do have Calvary. It actually meets at the same place at Knob Hill on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., and we have child care there, and we also have a little family room there as well and opportunities there. So you can go to that as well. That's, again, Sundays at 11 o'clock at the Lobo Theater, and we do have child care available for that, and we also have a family room. So
yeah, hey, that'd be awesome. And, you know, Nate, I get you, you're
you're turning into R2-D2.
Yeah, you're breaking up. I think you got bad reception.
I'm sorry, guys.
No problem.
That's okay. There you go.
There you go. Now I can hear you.
Appreciate you.
I heard appreciate.
Breaking up again.
Maybe God's just trying to keep you humble, so he doesn't want this guy to give you, lost it. Oh, well.
Did it?
He
is that pop mean you
really
lost
wanted,
it?
Yeah, he hung up. Really wanted to say he appreciates you and your ministry and all that you're doing. But God was like, nah, Nate hears that enough. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. We've got another anonymous call on line one in regard to a couple phone calls ago, I believe. Static.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I actually called last week about honesty and kind of set me straight that I said myself that I wasn't honest. I don't know if you remember that.
I do
call,
remember
that
in regard to your, loaning money to a friend.
Right. And also I called before about Facebook. And I don't look at Facebook anymore because of that.
Yeah.
Call. Okay. Well, so now I'm listening to the other caller. I'm like so convicted because I met my current husband at church the day he gave his life to Christ and walked down. I had this awe moment. Okay, he's the one for me. I was separated from my husband. Not good. Anyway, so we've been married 11 years. I was previously married 10 years. We had had a very rocky marriage, as you recall, from the other calls. But anyway, I'll recap. We had been separated before, and I had allowed, during my work process, a person to kind of woo me, and I had searched for excuses to stay late so he could talk to me, and I had gone to him several times, you know, for that encouragement, for those words, because he made me feel so good, blah, blah, blah. And the same thing happened with my current husband. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I married this guy, and he was a snake in the grass because he came after me while I was married. And I'm like, oh, no, wait a minute. I kind of sought him while he was a young Christian, and, boy, I made him fall. Oh, my God. You know, I'm the snake in the grass, and yet I was a Christian all my, oh, my gosh. So I'm like, all these emotions now, it's not greener on the other side. Our marriage has never been blessed. We had got pregnant within a month, not quite even divorced yet. Oh, my gosh, it's just crazy. Yeah, it's awful. We got married when our son was a month old. My husband was, my first husband was out of the house. That's no excuse. It's still wrong. I'm through making excuses. You know, as we discussed last week,
I got a question.
There are no excuses.
I got a question about your call. Because you're talking about how you're feeling dreadful and awful right now. Specifically, what are you referring to now? Because I know you've called in about your current marriage. You're feeling awful about your current marriage, or you're feeling awful about things in the past, or
Well, I have been taking these feelings out, not really realizing what it is. I've been really mean and hateful to my current husband, not really realizing what it is. I'm like really, truly mean and hateful. Like, really mean.
Okay.
And so I'm just like, I really don't know how to handle it. And, you know, he's not a Christian. He claims to be a Christian. And, you know, I've got this guilt. And then, you know, he came up with this, we need to apologize to your ex-husband. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, you know. And I'm like, I don't know how to handle that.
Hmm.
You know, do we go apologize to him? I obviously sinned against God, and I've sought forgiveness for that. And
yeah, you know, I think there is a very biblical mindset and an idea behind going to someone, no matter how long it's been, and apologizing to them if you've wronged them. And I would also say this, just to your current situation, that you know, because you did this bad stuff a long time ago, and now it's affected your relationship now, and now you're hateful and mean towards your husband. It sounds to me like it's just a habitual, you know, path of sin and more sin and more sin. And it sounds to me like you kind of have this mentality in your mind right now that two wrongs make a right. But two wrongs don't make a right. And it doesn't matter what relationship you're in now. You do what's right now. And you stop the path. You stop this habitual life of sin. And at some point, you've got to cut it off. And I think that now is that time to cut off the sin and start living righteously and start doing what's right and what God's called you to do.
Now, on this restoration, on this process, on this, hey, going to your former husband, do not, because I don't know why this is on my heart right now, but when you guys go to him, and yes, that's a grand idea, and ask for forgiveness,
well,
do not then in turn go, this was my first love, and now I need to.
Yeah.
Don't compound it. Don't confuse it for what it's not. If your husband believes that you need to go to your former husband for past whatever, that's definitely between you guys. You should definitely pray and seek godly counsel in that. But don't turn it into something it's not, that's for sure.
No. Oh, no. He said that he specifically needs to ask him forgiveness for his actions.
He does,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
His wife.
Right.
Yeah. He needs to. That was on his heart.
Hmm.
And, you know, I've apologized to him for being, like, the worst wife because I was really hateful to him. And so I've made that clear. And, you know,
Have you apologized?
We have children together. We have three children together. So we see each other, you know, on a regular basis. And, you know, I have said several times, if I knew we could be friends, I'd have never married him because we get along great now. But there's not that temptation there.
Have you apologized for committing adultery?
No, I think that is necessary.
I think
he's,
so.
It's a weird situation. He's dating the maid of honor. My ex-husband's dating the maid of honor in our first marriage. Very weird.
Okay.
So I have weird feelings about that, too, and I don't know how to address that
Guess
either.
What? You don't get to have weird feelings about that. You're married, and this was like a decade
ago.
Knock it off!
Yeah. Yeah, here's the thing. You know, it doesn't matter what he's doing.
It
should matter, because while you were still with him, although separated, you started a new relationship.
Yeah.
So you don't have the right now, all these years later, to go, yeah, but like a decade ago, the first time I got married, she was my friend, and you're not allowed to date her 12 years later.
Yeah.
You don't get to do that.
Like 23 years later.
Oh my gosh!
It's ridiculous.
Just knock it off, bro! You're done. Your rights, we have taken away your right to be pissed about this card, okay?
Yeah.
So.
It's just weird. It's weird. She was like, it's just weird.
This is the thing, okay. You're the one who made it weird. You're the one who made it weird by cheating on your husband and finding a guy
exactly,
at church that you walked down the aisle
exactly.
with and marrying him and having a kid with him. You're the one who made it weird. So
I've made the whole thing weird.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's all me.
You have.
It's
so guess what?
Exactly.
So guess what? You either get to keep it like weird, let it keep being weird and this weird, everything's weird. Or you get to do what's right and just go and apologize for doing what you did and moving on with your life.
Yeah.
You're either gonna let this plague the rest of your life and let it be weird for the rest of your life, or you're going to do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I hope you do something about it.
Well, because my husband deserves better than that. And, you know, it's just, I'm just weird.
Yes. Agreed.
Thank you so much for calling in.
But I don't want to be. And I want to be, I want to be the Proverbs 31 woman.
Yeah. So
and
be
I'm,
it.
I'm repeating those habits and being mean to my current husband as I was to my previous, and he doesn't deserve that.
So let me ask you, what do you do? What are you supposed to do?
Right now. Because you're recognizing, you're acknowledging that you've been crappy, but what are you going to do now, practically? What are you going to do?
Turn away from my sin.
Okay, how?
Ask forgiveness and turn away from it. Go to God every day.
Okay.
Die to myself.
All right.
Okay, yeah, and I'd say even more specifically, you go to you know, again, this is really strange. If your current husband feels more inclined to do what's right than you do, that's an issue. So go to your old husband, apologize for sinning, apologize for doing what you're doing, and then start being the wife that God's called you to be. Start loving your current husband as God's called you to love him. Start doing what's right, doing what's righteous, and God will bless that. But don't make excuses for your sin. Stop following the desires that you have of your heart and start clinging to the Lord.
Amen. All right. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Man,
if
we had
you missed
good question.
Any part of this show, podcast, and or Sunday night 7 p.m., we will re-air it.
Oh, man.
I know, line two. We got it. That's a fantastic question, man. We have 3 seconds.
Why did the music start 2 minutes before? 2.5 minutes before?
Because we have the final break.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.